Well, the city of Portland, Oregon proclaimed yesterday, January 20th, as Decemberist Day. Joining us this morning, widely known as the day after Decemberist Day, and in support of a brand new album, What a Terrible World, What a Beautiful World, we are pleased to welcome back to our studios the Decemberists. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning to you.
How are you all?
Doing pretty well. We're pulling it together.
Excellent, excellent. It's great to see you, good people. Colin is here. Jenny is around here somewhere as well, yes. Chris Funk, hello, sir. And all of you. And I believe I noticed Kelly Hogan is with you today, who we know from the Nico Case band, sort of Nico's muse, in a way.
Nico's
muses.
That's something.
Good to see you. So congrats on the new album.
Oh, thank you. Thanks very much.
Hey, so let's head into your first set for us this morning. Then we'll break and catch up and talk about the new album, The Decemberists, live on KCRW.
Springtime, my life. really great.
Some instrument switching is what you're hearing, Radioland. Clumsy first thing in the morning in instrument switching. This song is called The Wrong Year. Ready? Gray Jane was a river child, born down by the river wild. Say what I wanna be, nobody's gonna intervene. And she wants you, but you won't do, and it won't leave you alone. And the rain falls on the wrong year, and it won't. Child, 10 steps just to run a mile. And I'll sleep all the winter long. Till then I can only be, nobody's gonna intervene.
You want me to tell a joke? No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, I won't do it.
All right, look at that. That was fast. My headphones keep almost falling off at the last chorus of every song, which makes it all the more exciting for me.
It's a thrilling gig.
A little living on the edge. This is called The Lake Song. Down by the lake,
We were overturning, pedaled and appending all the animals alive. And I took a drag from your cigarette and pinched it between my finger and my thumb till it had died. And the sun burned low on the radio. Say that you will. Say you will or will you, won't or you, whatever you prevaricate your whole life. Much I can say. I would have waited till the oceans fell away and all the sunken cities would reveal themselves to you. But you won't, will you? Because you never do. Suburban villains and their ill-begotten children from the lawn. And come to me now. And on the station wagon window set the ghosts, your two footprints, that they might haunt me when you're gone. But when the light broke dawn,
really nice. The Decemberists live on KCRW this morning. So that was Lake Song from the new album. What a Terrible World, What a Beautiful World. So, Colin, I understand I was reading that that song, Lake Song, was the first you finished once you all got together about a year ago and sort of started to explore what was possible with a new recording session.
I think that was about a year and a half ago we got together and without any idea of making a record or with any idea of starting this whole cycle again of putting records out, we just kind of booked 3 days at Tucker Martin's studio in Portland, and I just had a few songs kicking around, and nobody had heard the songs, and it just showed up, and I played a few songs for the band, and everybody had whatever instruments they had on hand, and we just kind of recorded a few songs for a few days, and then once we were done, I kind of wrapped up all of our stuff and went home, and that was it, and that was one of the songs we got out of it, but it was nice being able to work that way without any, because I think typically we have a bunch of songs, we rehearse them, we go into the studio for 5 weeks, we record them, and then sometime later they are birthed into the world via a record or CD or streaming or download.
So was this kind of a way to trick yourselves? Just keep no pressure, no pressure. We're just getting together.
I think it was. I think it was just an effort to just to make music for the sake of making music, record music for the sake of making, instead of making it for the sake of, well, we've got a record and, right. People are, our record label is expecting it or anything like that.
You had taken off quite a bit of time. How many years had it been?
Well, I think it was 4 years, nearly to the week that The King Is Dead came out. Mm. And we had toured most of that year. So, yeah, it's been a while.
Did you feel that you were just kind of bursting with ideas and music once you did get together?
I don't know. Bursting might be kind, but there was some, I was also working on these books at the same time, so that was taking up a lot of my time.
Yeah, tell us a little more about that for those who don't know.
My wife and I, Carson Ellis, who does all the illustrations for the band, for the T-shirts and things, for the record covers. She and I had always talked about doing a book of kind of a long form, like folktale. Kids illustrated novel, and so we took this time off to do that. They're called the Wildwood Chronicles, and the third one just came out last year. So I was working on that a lot of the time while we were on our break. But songwriting was kind of a nice procrastination tool. If ever I got in a jam in the book, it was nice to sit down and just play guitar a little bit. And so there were songs kind of coming about.
Well, I'm curious about how one influenced the other, writing long form versus songwriting.
I don't know. I mean, they're as different as two things could be that ostensibly are coming from the same part of your brain. I don't know. I'm not being a neurologist. I'm not sure how any of that works. But
did you find yourself, shifting perspective in your songwriting?
A little bit. I think maybe if there was one thing, I felt like as I was working on the books, the songs tended to be more kind of first-person meditations. I think maybe my narrative, need for narrative was being taken up by writing the books. And then actually once I finished the books, then a little bit more narrative started to seep back into the songs.
You've also added to your family, and so I think the time off must have been great just for family time.
Yeah, it was nice to be able to do that as well, to be a human being for a little bit.
Life, it's nice.
Yeah.
And that surely applies to everyone in the band. I know Jenny had a health scare at some point there. We were all concerned about that. How is Jenny doing?
Jenny's doing good.
Excellent.
They call in the biz as NED, no evidence of disease. So my
excellent.
Body is like a regular 43-year-old.
Didn't you got your all clear
For three years. My
third year. Third year all clear last week or something like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
So I was teasing you a little about the proclamation yesterday, but you have to tell us about this. How did this come about, and what was the experience like?
Well, I don't know. It kind of came to be. I think someone suggested it to City Hall, and City Hall was game. But then they ask you to write your own proclamation. This is funny how this works out. So I'm like, all right, we'll do that, but you got to supply the proclamation. So actually we got Daniel Handler, Lemony Snicket, to write it, since he seemed like he would be a good guy for the job.
I'd like to quote what the mayor said. This is Mayor Charlie Hales, said, the Decemberists embody the Portland values of passion, engagement, and communitarianism. It's a tongue twister. With the Portland aesthetic of homegrown, forthright, slightly hippie, and often bespectacled glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that captures it fairly well.
I am curious about, and we were talking to Bell and Sebastian about this just yesterday.
About December's Day?
We're Good. Talking a lot about you guys.
But they don't have Bell and Sebastian Day.
They don't. But they're very close to their city of Glasgow. And in so many ways they embody the Glasgow music scene. And I wonder if you truly feel that way about your connection to Portland.
I don't think we embody the music scene remotely. I mean, I think that there's a lot of amazing other bands there. Both bygone and current, I think Dead Moon and the Wipers and Slater Kinney embody the music scene as much, if not more, than we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's got to feel nice to kind of get the keys to the city, though, yesterday with this proclamation.
They didn't give us keys.
No keys.
It was really, I kind of stood there waiting. There was an awkward moment as I waited for the mayor to give me a key. There was no key produced.
So we didn't go through the door.
No, they weren't allowed. There's a big golden door in City Hall.
Wow.
Behind that, what is it? Just like a big donut? Stack of donuts.
Chocolate. Yeah, chocolate.
Just really good chocolate that only the mayor can get to.
Hey, so I want to mention this evening you're over at Amoeba in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Is this a in-store performance, or are you just signing CDs? What's going on?
No, I think we're just signing. I think we're just signing records, yeah.
Okay, so that's at 5 p.m. is what I've been told at Amoeba in Hollywood. The new album, What a Terrible World, What a Beautiful World. Can you talk a little about the title here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it's something, I think it's a sentiment that probably a lot of people could get behind right now, or at least relate to. It's from a line of a song on the record. And when I wrote it, it felt like a good, and I think I'd written the song a couple of years ago, it felt like a good summation of how I felt about things at the time. And when it came time to put the record together and give it a name, it seemed to still fit. So it stuck.
You also address the tragedy in Newtown on the song 12-17-12 on the album. Certainly a difficult topic. How do you talk to your own children about these kinds of things, tragedies like the Newtown school shootings?
I actually don't think I don't think of it as being about them, but it was a response to it. I don't think that, it's not anything particularly topical, but it's just a sort of a regurgitation of my own inner, turmoil, in the wake, a few days after.
Of course.
And it is much about, I think what a lot of people say, just hold your dear ones close to you. And I think the song is sort of me doing that in song form. As far as how I talk to my kids about it, I don't know. As it comes up, you try to discuss it in the best way possible, but it's a terrible world and a beautiful world. There are both of these things, and they manage to exist at the same time, I think is as good as any of a explanation as any.
That's Colin Molloy. The Decemberists are live in studio. And why don't we head into the second set? I want to remind people we're going to have tickets for a show coming up at the Greek. It's not until the 2nd of May, so I'm assuming you guys go out on tour. You come back to Southern California for this show on Saturday, May 2nd, Greek Theater. We'll have tickets for that coming up, along with autographed copies of the new album, What a Terrible World, What a Beautiful World. The Decemberists live on KCRW.
I am a boy from the high country, and I got a little love for the offering. I come down from the mountain, bow to the sea, and Carolina alone will carry thee. Take you up, gonna take you around, but oh, your poor little pant legs will drag him down. Did you scratch your lip? Did you skin your knee? And Caroline alone will carry thee. A seal with a handshake, spoiled with a kiss. You got an ugly little mouth, boy, and it's come to this. I'm bound for the hilltop, I'm gonna make it bleed. And Carolina love will carry thee. I am a boy from the high country, and I got a little love for the offering, and I got a little love for the offering, and I got a little love for the offering.
We're going to do a cover now. This is Do You Remember Walter by the Kinks.
One, two.
This is a beginning song.
is a shadow, is the quiet, is the work, is a beating heart, is the ocean, is the boy.